Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
Welcome, everyone. It's the week four edition of our FantasyGuru.com Through the Wire podcast. I am staff writer Paul Kelly, along with senior writer Tom Brawley. Every week we get together on Tuesdays and talk about the hot waiver wire options for the week. Very quickly, up at FantasyGuru.com right now, you'll find our Stock Watch article. It's a great recap to the weekend. All the key players are broken down, who's improved their stock, who's maybe moving in the wrong direction. It's a great recap to the weekend. That article available right now at FantasyGuru.com. Also, Inside the Box Score, which is a really cool read. If you want to check out all the red zone stats, targets, and a whole lot more, you're going to find all that info in our Inside the Box Score article up right now at FantasyGuru.com. So, Tom, let's go ahead and get started here. Quarterback position. We are 3 weeks into this thing, and if you're looking for an argument as to why you should wait on your quarterback in drafts, all you need to do is look at the guys that are in the top 10 right now, and at least three of them available on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. We've got Andy Dalton, who's the number three QB right now for fantasy. Tyrod Taylor is a top five guy right now, and Marcus Mariota is clearly inside the top 10 right now as well. So I think all three of those guys looking pretty good right now, and all three guys seem to have enough reasons as to why they should continue playing well and producing for fantasy that you should feel good about picking up one of those guys if they're available.
Yeah, and you're right. All three of those guys, most of them were going undrafted, and they're readily available after the first couple of weeks of the season. If either of those three guys are still out there, I'd look to snatch them up. I like Tyrod Taylor the best, based on matchups coming up here. He's got the Giants, Tennessee, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville. Three out of the four are pretty nice matchups. And the only concern would be that Sammy Watkins might be out with a calf injury. But then again, LeSean McCoy might be out with a hamstring injury. So they don't want to put it all on their rookie running back. So they might have to throw it a little bit more than we're used to. Now, Andy Dalton, he looks great right now. But we do have to warn you, he's got Kansas City, who looked a little shaky last week. But they have a pretty good defense. And then he's got Seattle and Buffalo and then a bye week. So he's a guy you might not be using, three out of the next 4 weeks. So if I had to choose between these guys, maybe I would choose Taylor over Dalton right now.
Yeah, and Mariota, what I really like about him is that he's putting up all of these points. He's doing it with his arm. We liked him a lot coming out of college, especially as a rookie, because we knew he could produce with his legs. He has not been doing that through the first three games, yet here we are. He's still in the top 10 for fantasy points. So I think there's still some untapped potential there, some more upside there that we haven't seen yet for whatever reason. He hasn't been running, but he's still getting it done for fantasy. Another name I want to throw at you here, Derek Carr, is a guy who – after the first game, look, he got banged up, didn't finish that game. Since then, he's been really good for fantasy week two, week three. We saw it again against Cleveland. He's really clicking with Amari Cooper right now. Is he somebody that you feel good about picking up?
Yeah, I like what I've seen. I mean, Cooper looks legit. I mean, the kid looks like he's going to be a number two receiver for fantasy this year. Crabtree, he does the things well, running those underneath and intermediate routes that Derek Carr also does well. So, I mean, right, he's been a nice fit into this offense. And if I'm streaming quarterbacks, I might be taking a look at Carr this week. He's got Chicago. Chicago's been very suspect all over the field, especially on defense. So Carr could be a guy. Maybe you had Ben Roethlisberger. He's out now. You need a guy to stream this week. Maybe Derek Carr is a guy to consider.
Michael Vick is a guy people are wondering about. The Big Ben injury, obviously a big topic of discussion this week. So Mike Vick gets a chance to run this offense for the next four, maybe 6 weeks in Pittsburgh. And as an Antonio Brown owner, I am trying to find reasons to feel good about Mike Vick. It's not easy, Tom. I've been digging through trying to find some reasons to feel good about Michael Vick. I will say that he has thrown more touchdowns than INTs every season since 2003. But look, this is not the same player that we saw a handful of years ago have that monster season with the Eagles. But what's your expectation for him? He certainly has a lot of weapons here with the Steelers. Is he worth a pickup?
Yeah, it sounds like you're stretching there the ball looking for
I'm trying to find something, Tom.
Yeah. People have this image of Michael Vick and they envision him from 6-7 years ago. This isn't the same Michael Vick that He's 35 now. He can't run it like he used to. He still turns the ball over a lot. He fumbles. You know, he still has the ball issues. He's if I'm a owner of, you know, if you maybe you're one of those people that took Martavis Bryant, you're like, oh yeah, after 4 weeks it's gonna be great. Now you can't be feeling so great if you waited those 4 weeks. Now you're waiting another 4 weeks for Ben to get back. So yeah, I'm not scrambling to go get him, especially on a short week here. They're not gonna have a full week to get him, you know, to cater the offense around him. It could be sloppy here in week four. I'm not scrambling to go get him.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I want to mention his name just because, again, he's paired up with Chan Gailey. They've had success together in the past. So far this year, Fitzpatrick with 2 touchdown passes in each of his 3 starts. And that's really what you're looking for fantasy. You want a guy who's going to get you multiple touchdown passes every week. So far, Fitzpatrick has been doing it, and he even got it done this week thanks to the volume with Eric Decker out, but he's clearly clicking with Brandon Marshall right now. I think he could do a whole lot worse as your QB2 than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I think he's fine as a QB2. I'm not going to stream him, though. As you said, they looked a little shaky without Eric Decker. If Eric Decker is out of my lineup, I'm probably not looking to stream him in a given week. If they're going to rely heavily on Brandon Marshall, that was kind of a game flow. They fell behind early against the Eagles. With that defense, they're not going to fall behind by that many points very often. So if I'm streaming Fitzpatrick, I have to have both Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall in the lineup.
A couple of guys maybe you should get ready to pick up. We're not quite there yet, but Mark Sanchez in Philadelphia, based on the way Sam Bradford has been playing, based on the overall performance of this offense, not out of the question that they make the switch to Mark Sanchez at some point, who may actually be a better fit for this offense just because he can run it a little bit, Tom. So we'll see about Sanchez there. And Colt McCoy in Washington, another guy. If Kirk Cousins keeps throwing it to the other team, Colt McCoy might find himself under center here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are, you know, 2 QB leagues. Maybe, you know, you're looking for prospects down the road. But, Sam Bradford hasn't looked good. Even though they won last week, you know, they're still struggling to throw the ball. It hasn't quite started to click yet. So if, you know, Philadelphia would lose another game or two here in the near future, you know, it's not out of the question that Chip would make the switch.
A couple of guys with some really big games in week 3 as we transition to running backs now. Devontae Freeman in Atlanta with Tevin Coleman out was a revelation. I mean, 193 total yards, 3 touchdowns on the day, 35 touches, handled a huge workload there. We'll see about Coleman, probably going to miss another week, maybe 2. But Freeman, at least in the short term, is looking very good here. But you would think that even when Coleman comes back, based on what we saw out of Freeman this week, maybe he's earned himself a larger part of that timeshare moving forward.
Yeah, a big reason why we liked Freeman this summer, we were telling him, you know, telling our subscribers to draft him instead of Tevin Coleman, is because he can catch the ball. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. And we've actually, you know, we saw that on top of his excellent running. We've never seen him run like that. That was a bit of a shocker to see how well he ran the ball last week. But we love his ability out of the backfield as a receiver. So even if they go a, you know, 50-50 split once Tevin Coleman's healthy, Freeman's going to be the catching passes of the backfield. So he has that flex appeal if he cares.
Yep, so Freeman blew up in week 3. Ryan Matthews, filling in for the injured DeMarco Murray, ran the ball extremely well. And this is an Eagles offense that's got major issues along the interior of that offensive line. They haven't been able to run it a lick all year with DeMarco Murray. They plug in Matthews in a tough matchup against the New York Jets, and he gets done for fantasy. And we've talked about it. He may actually be a more talented back and maybe a better fit for the way the Eagles want to run the ball this year.
I mean, if you're the Eagles, you have to look at what happened, you know, the results from the first 2 weeks and look at what happened last week. I mean, I know they gave DeMarco Murray the big money contract. They're going to give him more opportunities to, you know, be the lead back here. But at some point, I'll look at the results on the field, and Matthews is leading that battle right now when compared to Murray. So if you own Matthews, you have to go now. But, you know, DeMarco is going to get his chances again here, at least for the next week or two. So as long as he's healthy. So you feel good about owning Matthews right now, though. If he's out in the waiver wire, you want to get him. You know, he has the better results right now.
Yeah, a couple of sexy names here. Matt Jones in Washington. People were all over this guy last week. He ended up ultimately disappointing against the Giants. And Carlos Williams in Buffalo, another young kid who's got a sizable role early in the year here. LeSean McCoy banged up. There's some talk that they may rest McCoy in week number four. And Carlos Williams has scored in each of the first three games. So even with McCoy there, Carlos Williams has actually been the better fantasy back. So Matt Jones, Carlos Williams, what do you think of those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think Carlos Williams, if the LeSean McCoy news, you know, that they decide to give him a rest, he's been banged up all, you know, since the preseason here. It's not getting any healthier. There's no guarantee that it's, you know, if they decide to sit him this week, that it's going to be all of a sudden much better by next week. So this, you know, it could turn into a multi-week injury. Carlos Williams is the guy I would be targeting on, you know, as if I had the top priority in my legs this week, I'd be going after him because he's a great fit for the offense. He's a downhill runner. He's a better fit than McCoy. McCoy likes to dance around a little bit. He fits perfectly in this offense, and he's scored three touchdowns already. The kid looks good. I mean, he's still very raw, but he's very talented. So, you know, if he, you know, if he shows well, he continues to show well, even with McCoy, even when McCoy gets back, he could start, you know, getting 30% of the snaps going forward. He could become a solid complementary piece, you know, even with a healthy McCoy. So he's the guy I'm really looking at this week.
We already mentioned Ryan Matthews, but Darren Sproles in Philadelphia on pace for 80 receptions this year. That would double up the 40 that he ended up with last year. I think regardless of whether it's Matthews or Murray or some combination of those two guys handling the early down work, Darren Sproles is going to have a consistent role in this offense as their pass catching back. So he's somebody who can help you in PPR leagues. How about Thomas Rawls, Seattle Seahawks? Marshawn Lynch left the game early with an injury this past weekend. And I know they've got Fred Jackson there, but Thomas Rawls is a kid who looked very good this preseason. They gave him 16 carries this past weekend and he went over 100 yards. So he's looking like the handcuff right now if you own Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he really is. Everybody probably thought it was Fred Jackson going into that game, and it turned out it was Thomas Rawls. Fred Jackson's just going to be used as a complimentary guy, it appears, that, you know, as a goal line or maybe, you know, as a passing back. It's going to be Rawls as the backup for Marshawn Lynch. So if you unfortunately played Marshawn Lynch last week, you might want to consider picking him up, you know, picking up Thomas Rawls. It kind of stinks they're going to be on a Monday night here this week. That's never fun for,
I know. You know,
as we saw with, you know, all the Lacey and Starks, you know, is he going to play T.Y. Hilton the week before? That's a pain in the butt. So it's nice to have that handcuff in those situations. So if you're that Lynch owner, you probably want to have Thomas Rawls ready to go just in case he can't go on Monday.
I will bring up one more running back, see what you think about him, and then anybody that I haven't brought up that you want to bring up, just throw them out there. But how about Antonio Andrews? Tennessee Titans saw his first action of the season. He out-snapped Bishop Sankey. He out-everythinged Bishop Sankey. 13 touches, 61 yards and a TD there. Clearly, the Titans are down on Sankey. He only played 23% of the snaps in this game. And, you know, look, they drafted David Cobb. They made the trade for Terrence West. And now Antonio Andrews is healthy. He steps right in, and he's more viable for fantasy than Bishop Sankey. So, I mean, if you've got Sankey, there's no way you're feeling good about that right now. But how about Antonio Andrews? Is this his job right now?
I don't think so. I hate this tight. As I've said in the past, I hate this Titans backfield. I just, whenever it comes to them, I just try to avoid them, period. I haven't had Sankey. I haven't had any of these guys on my teams the last 2 years. Next week, I don't – it could go back – it could be Terrence West for all we know. It was Dexter McCluster in week two. It's Antonio Andrews week three. I just don't want any part of this backfield. He did look decent, I mean, but I want no part of it. But a guy I would be looking at maybe you know, just – he didn't do all that much against the Eagles in week three, but is Bilal Powell. You know, Chris Ivory, he's had a history of injury issues. He's always banged up. He suited up. He was back on Sunday, but didn't play. And, you know, Powell actually, you know, for PPR formats, he actually did pretty well with some catches. So he's a guy I would look at, you know, even if you weren't a, you know, Chris Ivory owner. If he's out there, you know, he's a guy.
Yeah, at least 15 touches in each of the first three games there for Powell. So he's been involved even with Ivory in the mix. All right, wide receivers. Victor Cruz looks like he is ready to return in week number four for the New York Giants. Great news for Eli Manning in that passing game. But it's looking like he can step right in and have a sizable role here. I know Reuben Randall was solid in the third game, but he was invisible in the first two. You would think Victor Cruz maybe becomes the number two option in this passing game right away.
Yeah, I mean, people, you can't expect Victor Cruz to turn into Victor Cruz, you know what he looked like before his patellar injury. That's a major knee injury. A lot of guys, it takes a long time to get back from that injury. But Eli Manning clearly doesn't – something's not there with him and Reuben Randall. I mean, they're hot and cold. They're one leak randomly involved in the next season. So if Cruz is healthy enough, he instantly becomes the number two here. Now you're not concerned. He's not going to just all of a sudden, start taking targets away from Odell Beckham. But no. there's a point here for a number two receiver. So Cruz could be that guy. Somehow somebody cut him and got impatient early in the year. He's sitting out on your waiver wire. He's definitely bad because he can only come in and be a receiver for you.
Boy, if you weren't believing in Rishard Matthews after the first couple of games, maybe you are now after week three. Six grabs for 113, couple of TDs there. Dolphins are getting nothing out of Greg Jennings. They're getting nothing out of Kenny Stills. It's been all Jarvis Landry and now Rishard Matthews, who is a talented player, but we just figured maybe he was going to be buried on the depth chart here. But he's getting snaps, and he's making plays when they throw him the football. And I know Devontae Parker is going to start earning more and more playing time here. But Matthews seems like somebody that we can count on moving forward, especially in PPR.
Yeah, I ended up picking up two things last week because a lot of it was because the O-line struggles in Miami. Tannehill doesn't have a lot of time to throw the ball right now. And Rishard Matthews is essentially Jarvis Landry light. He does all of his work in that underneath and intermediate area. So, if teams are going to focus in on Jarvis Landry, he's going to go to his other guy, Rishard Matthews. And we see a guy like Jordan Cameron. He's done very little right so far. So it's really just Landry and Matthews right now. He's great for PPR formats. He looks like he's going to be locked into at least, five or six targets, five or six catches each week going forward. So yeah. Until a guy like Parker or, if Kenny Stills, ever shows up from the dead here, until somebody else starts to, actually demand targets here.
How about Marvin Jones in Cincinnati? We go back to 2013 when Andy Dalton had that great season. A big part of that was that he had Marvin Jones, and Jones was a double-digit touchdown guy that season. Of course, he missed pretty much all of last year with the injury. Back and healthy this year. He's now scored in each of the last two games, and Andy Dalton is playing well. He's got his guy Marvin Jones back on the field. I'm thinking that's not a coincidence, but Jones is probably somebody who's available on the wire in your league right now.
Yeah, they've steadily, involved him more each week here. He's playing more each week. It was going to be a slow start. I mean, the guy didn't play for an entire year. He had the Dez Bryant injury. He had the Jones fracture, and he missed the entire season last year. So, I mean, they were going to bring him along slowly. But, he's very involved now. And as we said earlier, Andy Dalton's playing as well as we've seen Andy Dalton play in a long time. So, it's a good time to own, parts of this Bengal offense here. Tyler Eifert laid the egg last week, but he's going to be involved. But so is Marvin Jones. So he's a guy I'd be looking for. He's available in almost every league that I'm in. So, he's a guy that's very valuable this week.
St. Louis Rams are really looking for somebody to step up in that group of wide receivers. Last year was Brian Quick, who was very productive through the first month or so of the season, went down with an injury, didn't play the rest of the year. Everybody expected him to be the number one guy this season for the Rams. He's been a healthy scratch in each of their first three games, and it's looking like Kenny Britt is the number one target among that group of wide receivers. Had a nice day in week three, 10 targets, caught seven of them for 102. I know this is likely to be an inconsistent passing game with Nick Foles there in St. Louis, but Kenny Britt probably available on the wire, and he's probably going to post a few big games this season.
Yeah, he's your classic matchup guy. We liked him a lot going into last week. He was playing against the Steelers. We'd seen the Steelers the first 2 weeks. They can't slow anybody down. So, Britt's a guy. You're going to use him maybe four or five times. And bye weeks are coming up here, so you might be forced to use him a little bit more. But he's a classic matchup guy. If he's going against a good defense, plug him into your lineup. He'll probably, you know, he could go off for a play.
One more guy from me, and then if there's anybody else you like, let me know. But rookie Dorial Green-Beckham is worth talking about here because he has scored in each of the last two games. I know he's not playing a whole lot of snaps right now, but clearly he's already viable as a red zone weapon there for the Titans. You would think as the season progresses, he will earn himself more and more playing time behind Harry Douglas and Justin Hunter on the outside. Can't use him for fantasy right now, but if you can afford the roster spot, I think Dorial Green-Beckham is somebody who maybe can help you out over the last, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, they're going to get him on the field more. It's just they're slowly progressing him. And, you know, as we've seen the last 2 weeks, at the very least, he's going to play whenever they're down in the red zone. They're going to throw him the ball in the end zone. He's a huge target, 6'5", 6'6". He's running fades. He beat up Vontae Davis. So he's a guy they're going to get involved in red zone no matter what. So, yeah, he's a guy, if you have last roster spots in for, you know, doing nothing for you right now, go pick him up. You know, you might use him in a couple weeks. He might, you know, change for you at the end. If a guy like Percy Harvin is still sitting out there, he's, I think, available in like 50% of the Yahoo leagues. Sammy Watkins has the calf injury right now. Tyrod Taylor's going to need a top target. Percy Harvin has been that top target. So he could be even more active if Sammy Watkins misses this week with that calf injury. So he's a, you know, this week.
At tight end, a couple of guys very close to returning who could be impact players here very soon, and that's Antonio Gates in San Diego. If he didn't get drafted in your league, he's only going to miss one more game, and then he's going to be back for Phillip Rivers there in San Diego. And Julius Thomas in Jacksonville, who has been practicing in a limited fashion here over the last couple of weeks, but he seems to be very close to returning from that hand surgery, and Blake Bortles certainly could use another reliable weapon in that Jacksonville offense. I think if either of those guys is available and you need some help at tight end, they can help you out in a big way starting potentially as early as this week.
Yeah, and we saw with the San Diego offense this week, it really fell apart without Antonio. He's obviously out here the first place, and Darius Green had a second concussion, you know, heading into the game. But Phillip Rivers didn't have one of those two tight ends stretching the seams of the Viking defense this week, and he looked like an absolute mess. And some of it was on the Charger offensive line, but Rivers needs one of those guys to get vertical up the seam. He loves his tight end. So if Gates is still sitting out there, I know he's getting old, but he's got those first four games off. Maybe that keeps him a little fresher, deeper into the season here, you know, keeps him viable. You know, he kind of, you know, fell off a little bit toward the end of last year. So maybe this keeps him fresher down the stretch.
Some other names for you, tight end, Eric Ebron in Detroit. I think if he's available, you pick him up. You maybe don't want to count on him as your every week starter right now, but he has scored in two of the first three games. I'm going to bring up this name just because we have to, because he had a big game in week three.
I know where you're going.
You know exactly where I'm going. It's Gary Barnage, Cleveland Browns. And look, what we can take away from this is start your tight ends against the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders were giving up the most fantasy points to tight ends over the first 2 weeks of the season. And I remember looking at this matchup last week for the Browns and saying, you know what? It's a shame the Browns don't have a tight end to take advantage of this great matchup. But sure enough, Gary Barnage, of all people, goes off for more than 100 yards in a TD. People are going to see the stat line, Tom. They're going to wonder whether or not they should pick him up. I'm guessing the answer is no.
No, he's the Daniel Fells or Darren. I can't even remember which Cardinal tight end
it was. It was Darren. I mean, yeah, Darren Fells.
It was Darren. I can't remember. I can't differentiate the Fells brothers there. But yeah, Gary Barnage is not a guy I'm running out to the waiver wire here. But yeah, like you said, Raiders defense. Whenever they're playing against their, you know, whoever the tight end that is playing against that defense, you want to play them that week. It's Martellus Bennett this week. I hope to God he has a quarterback that can throw the ball. We saw Jimmy Clausen.
That would help you.
Oh, that was a disaster last week, as everybody expected. But you know, hopefully, you know, maybe Jay Cutler will be back, and Martellus Bennett can go off for 6 for 105 and 1 like Gary Barnage did this week.
Oh, man. Hey, you mentioned Percy Harvin as a viable waiver wire guy at wide receiver, especially because Watkins may miss the game this weekend. For that same reason, is Charles Clay looking like a guy you can feel pretty good about right now this week?
Yeah, he gets bumped up into that rotation. I mean, they have three or four guys that they feel good about. But if you take a guy out like Watkins, you know, he's got to spread it out somewhere else. So, you know, he's a streamer type anyway. But, you know, you feel better about him going forward now if Watkins is going to miss a week here. And if, you know, if LeSean McCoy is going to miss, maybe they won't run this quite as effectively. Or maybe they don't want to put it all on the kid's shoulders, Carlos Williams. So, you know, Charles Clay is a guy you could easily stream this week.
All right, guys, that's about it for us. We're going to wrap this thing up, but the entire waiver wire article is up now, and it's continually updated throughout the week as we get more information once the practice reports start rolling in. So make sure you're checking it up at fantasyguru.com. For Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck in week 4, and we'll see you at fantasyguru.com.